نعم. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Today this is our 21st session. This is our 21st session reading from lessons in fiqh, Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today is our 21st session, and we are reading from the book of Salat, Kitab al-Salat, and specifically our topic today, or we have something remaining from the last topic, right?
No.
Yeah, we have something remaining. Okay, so before that, we're going to complete what we have remaining from the shurut of Sihat al-Salat, and then we're going to go today to the Arkan al-Salat, bi'izni Allah ta'ala. Okay, so let's first look at what remains from the previous topic of the shurut for Sihat al-Salat, yani the preconditions for the validity. Preconditions for the validity of the prayer. Now, before we go to the point that remains now, somebody can just kind of refresh our memory concerning what are the preconditions for the validity of the prayer. طيب تفضل يا عبد الحق.
أولا الطهارة من الحدث. يعني
state of purity, يعني being pure from حدث. يعني الحدث الأصغر والأصغر. الأكبر والأصغر. يعني being free from any. يعني being in a state of purification from major and minor state of impurification. That's one. دخول الوقت. Number two. يعني number two is دخول الوقت, meaning the time, the entry of the time for the prayer. The prayer, the time for the prayer has come, not before its time. Number three
is
ستره الأورا. يعني the covering of the areas of the body that need, that mandatory must be covered. Now, and that's different from men to women.
والبدن والمكان الذي يصلي فيه.
يعني the thawb, the clothing, and the body, and the place that you're going to pray in have to be clean, free from any najasa, free from any impurities. That's four. facing the Qibla, yani the direction of Mecca, or specifically the Masjid al-Haram or the Kaaba. And facing the direction of prayer. And the sixth one is an-niyya, intention. And that's what remains for us today. Inshallah, we're going to complete this discussion with the sixth precondition, that is an-niyya. Again, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to keep in mind the importance of the shurut for sihat al-salat. Yani, what is the importance of this subject? It means that these are preconditions that have to be fulfilled in order for the prayer to be valid. So even if a person prayed, and they prayed correctly, and did everything properly, but if they didn't fulfill these conditions, the prayer is not valid. So this is very important that these things are kept in mind, that it has to be time for the prayer. So whatever exceptions there are to the rules because of special situations, we have to make sure that the time for the prayer is entered. We have to make sure that we are in a state of purification, that our clothing and our body and our place of prayer is free from any impurities. We have to make sure that the body is covered properly with whatever is required for a person in prayer. We have to make sure that we are facing the direction of the Kaaba, the direction of Mecca. We have to make sure we're praying in the right direction. And most importantly, before we pray, we have to make sure that our intention, that we have correct intention to be performing the prayer, and sincerely, exclusively for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so number six, we're on page
6.
Six.
Number,
Yeah, it's the precondition number 6 on page 33, near the top of the page, close to the top of the page. It says number 6, السادس يعني النية, page 33, النية. وهي القصد أو العزم على فعل الشيء ومحلها القلب لا دخل للسان فيها. يعني النية عليك السلام. The first thing he started with, that the niyya, هي القصد أو العزم. يعني it means what? That the niyya is that you have intent or you have resolve. عزم يعني firm resolve على فعل الشيء, to do something. يعني the person has an intent or firm resolve to do a specific thing. ومحلها القلب. And the place for the niyya is the heart. يعني the niyya is an action that takes place in the heart. لا دخل للسان فيها. And there's no, يعني it has nothing to do with the tongue. لا دخل. The tongue doesn't have any, يعني role to play in the niyya. فلم ينقل عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا عن أحد من أصحابه رضي الله عنهم ولا تابعين ولا لأئمة الأربعة في النية لفظ قط إلا في الحج والعمرة. يعني the place of the intention is the heart. There's no role to be played. يعني the tongue has no يعني role to play in this affair, because it has not been conveyed, it has not been transmitted from the Prophet ﷺ, nor from any one of his companions radiallahu anhum, nor from the tabi'een or the four imams, concerning an-niyya lafdhun. No word, yani no expression has come, expressing of niyya has come from the Prophet ﷺ or his companions, or the tabi'een, or the four imams. Not one word has come concerning this. قط. إلا في الحج والعمرة. With the exception of Hajj and Umrah, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in Hajj and Umrah, we know that it's from the Sunnah, the person is performing Hajj, or when they perform in Umrah, to say out loud, لبيك اللهم بحج. Or لبيك اللهم بعمرة. يعني that here I am, O Allah, يعني with Hajj. Performing Hajj or performing Umrah. So this is the only exception, yani that there's an expression of the intent of what you're allowed to do when you're performing Hajj. You say Labayk Allahumma bi Hajj or bi Umrah. Now,
so what about saying to people, telling people you want to Hajj?
What about telling people you go to Hajj? No harm in telling someone I'm getting ready to travel. I will be around for a couple of weeks. I'm going to Mecca. No harm to say I'm going to make Hajj. No harm. I mean, the person shouldn't be yani saying it in the sense that I just want to let everybody know that I am making Hajj. Okay, pay attention that I am making Hajj. Now, of course, this shouldn't be happening. But if a person says, you know, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me, yani expressing thankfulness and gratitude to Allah for His favors, there's no harm in expressing the favors of Allah upon you. There's no harm in that. The intent should not be to show off, riya. That listen, pay attention, I'm doing it, I'm going to Hajj. Okay, that's dangerous. But if a person just says, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I will be around for the next few weeks, I'm going to make Hajj, alhamdulillah, it's a favor from Allah, I'm so thankful, Allah has blessed me to be able to do that, no harm in that, no problem, inshallah. Allahu a'lam.
Because also that can bring evil eye too.
That's possible. Now,
I have a question on expression of intention.
Yes.
Going to prayer. Is allowed to express your tongue?
No, it's not allowed to express your intent to perform prayer. It's not allowed to express it on your tongue, to say, and we'll come to it, inshallah, in detail. It's not allowed to say for you to say, oh Allah, I'm about to perform the Maghrib prayer. Oh Allah, I'm about to perform the Sunnah prayers of Fajr. To say this on the tongue, that's no. But rather the person should have firm resolve, intent in their heart to do it, what they're about to do, and that they're doing it for the sake of Allah. Now,
is that a sunnah for Hajj? Make the intention verbally?
When a person is about to perform the Hajj after they have reached the Miqat and they got into the state of Ihram and they did everything and they didn't wait to actually proceed in the actions of Hajj, then they should say out loud, Labayk Allahumma bi Hajj or Labayk Allahumma bi Umrah. Now, that's from the Sunnah. That's the exception. Okay, but in any case, the point is that generally in worship, yani the intent is not expressed on the tongue, rather it's in the heart. That's why we say here, mahalluha al-qalb. Yani the place for the intent is in the heart, as it has not been conveyed, it has not been transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his companions or the tabi'in or the four imams at all. No, it has not been transmitted from them that the niyyah may be expressed in words. That the niyyah may be expressed in words, except in Hajj and Umrah, as we mentioned already. وزمنها يعني زمن النية زمنها في أول الصلاة أي عند تكبيرة الإحرام. And the time for the niyya, the time when يعني it takes place, it occurs, is in the beginning of the prayer, that is at the time of pronouncing تكبيرة الإحرام. يعني at the time of saying الله أكبر to begin the prayer. تكبيرة الإحرام. That's the time when the person should make the intention. When they are about to say Allahu Akbar, they should have the intent in their heart, and then with that intent, they begin the prayer with the first act of prayer, which is تكبيرة الإحرام. تكبيرة الإحرام. And by the way, this تكبيرة الإحرام is from the arkan of Salat, from the essential pillars of Salat, without which the prayer is invalid. To say Allahu Akbar specifically. Here I'm gonna make note. I'm gonna refer back to the book Al-Wajiz. For the benefit that they mentioned there on page 83 of Al-Wajiz, that is mentioned on page 83, point number 6, and Niyyah. وهي أن ينوي الصلاة التي قام إليها ويعينها بقلبه. يعني they said here in Al-Wajiz في فقه السنة والكتاب العزيز in the book that we sent the PDF out to the class for page 83 in the book of Salat يعني under the shuruz for the صحة الصلاة النية, it is that a person intends the Salat which they are about to perform, and they specify it بقلبي, يعني in the heart. In the heart. كفرض الظهر, like they intend to make the obligatory prayer of ظهر, or عصر, or سنتهما مثلا, or the sunnahs of ظهر عصر, for example. And this is just an example, he said مثلا. But they specify the intent to perform the fard prayer of Dhuhr, or the fard prayer of Asr, or Sunnah prayers of either of them, and so on. After this, he says, and this is the point that, yani, really the benefit from this observation here, وَلَا يَشْرَعُ التَّلَفُّظ بِهَا وَلَا يَشْرَعُ التَّلَفُّظ بِهَا. Yani, it is not legislated in the Sharia that a person, a talafud means to express it in words, to express the niyyah. يعني talafud biha, to say it out verbally, orally. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يتلفظ بها. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't express it orally. وإنما كان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام إلى الصلاة قال الله أكبر. But rather, indeed, what he صلى الله عليه وسلم did when he stood up to perform the prayer, he said, Allahu Akbar. He didn't express any niyyah, or to say I'm performing any such prayer, whatever. And then it says, وَلَنْ يَنْقُلْ شَيْئًا قَبْلَهَا. Nor has there been transmitted from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم anything before his saying, Allahu Akbar. وَلَا تَلَفُّظَ بِالنِّيَّةِ الْبَكَّى. Nor has anything whatsoever, al-batta means absolutely nothing, has been transmitted of the Prophet ﷺ expressing the niyyah in any form or fashion. وَلَا قَالَ أُصَلِّي. And this quotation is from Zad al-Ma'ad by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in which he points out here now the things that the people are normally doing, which have not been translated from the Prophet. He said, وَلَا قَالَ أُصَلِّي. And he didn't even use the words, I am performing prayer. لِلَّهِ. He didn't mention I'm doing it for Allah. صَلَاتَ كَذَا. Such and such prayer. مُسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَ. Facing the direction of the Kaaba. أَرْبَعَ رَكَعَات. How many rakaat? إِمَامًا أَوْ مَأْمُومًا. That I'm praying as the Imam, or praying as the follower. وَلَا قَالَ أَدَاءً وَلَا قَدَاءً. Yani he didn't say I'm performing this prayer in its time, or I'm performing it, making up. Yani out after its time has expired. وَلَا فَرْضَ الْوَقْتِ. Nor is he saying that this prayer is the obligatory prayer of this particular time. وَهَذِهِ عَشْرُ بِدَعٍ لَمْ يُنْقَلْ عَنْهُ أَحَدٌ قَتْ أو لَمْ يَنْقُلْ عَنْهُ أَحَدٌ قَتْ. So he said that what? That these are 10 innovations. No one at all has conveyed it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bi isnadin sahih wala da'if wala musnad wala mursal. Nobody has translated from the Prophet, not with an authentic isnad, nor with a weak isnad, nor with a musnad isnad going back to the Prophet, nor a mursal isnad that yani is a mursal hadith, yani mursal that is not yani going completely, yani complete chain back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lafzatan wahidatan minha albatta. Yani meaning that lam yanqul anhu ahadun qat lafzatan wahidatan. Not even one word of this has been transmitted from anyone at all from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with an isnad that's sahih or da'if or musnad or mursal. He said wala an ahadin min ashabihi. Not even from any one of his companions has anything like this been transmitted. وَلَا إِسْتَحْسَنَهُ أَحَدٍ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ. Nor has any of the tabi'een considered this to be something hasan or good to do. وَلَا لَعِمَّةُ الْأَرْبَعِ. Nor even the four imams. And this is a quote from Zad al-Ma'ad ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. يعني this is a clarification that none of what the people say. أَنَا أُصَلِّي لِلَّهِ صَلَاةُ الظُّهُرِ يعني مُسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ إِمَامًا مَأْمُومًا أَدَاءً قَضَاءً فَرْضَ الْوَقْتِ. None of that has been transmitted from the Prophet ﷺ, nor from his companions, nor from the tabi'een, nor from the Ahimma al-Arba'a. These practices of these sayings are what have been innovated. As Ibn Qayyim says, these are عَشْرُ بِدَعَ. 10 innovations. These are 10 sayings. Including Sallu Salat Al-Mu'ayyinam. Some people saying, pray the prayer of one who is bidding farewell. Yani, like it's your last prayer.
Yeah.
Some people also added this. Ibn al-Qayyim left it out. No problem. And whatever they're saying, all of it is, yani, innovation.
Okay, but this one...
Saying these things.
Yes.
Intending to pray... Dua prayer is correct. Yeah, a person should have intent. What they are about to do. I'm intending to fast. I'm intending to pray. This is an obligatory fast in Ramadan. The intent should be there for what you're about to do. But saying it is not legislated.
Yeah, the one Abu Bakr is mentioning, I don't think people are saying it as an intention. Mm-hmm. They sing at, as like preparing the mind. But I'm not sure if it's like from the Sunnah, this warning. Because... And you say, like for example, like to waqarabu, those things like that, to make.
Okay, so there are some things the Prophet used to say before the prayer. Yani sow sufufakum, like this is from the Sunnah. That's what should be said.
Yeah.
As far as anything else that istahsanahu ba'd al-nas, he said even the Yani, tabi'in, they didn't consider it as good. But the people today consider saying certain things, yeah, it's not sunnah, but it's يعني from the باب of استحسان يعني it's good to do. No, it's not good to do if it's not from the sunnah. Now.
Oh, like Abdul Haq was saying, I think like the Imam saying, "Salu salatum rawadian," is like reminding the people to be away from heedlessness in the prayer and to pay attention to the prayer. It's not.
Right. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, say it. If he didn't say it, anyway, this is the end of the six preconditions. We're going to stop here with this one, only to mention. And what I mentioned in the beginning, according to somebody's question, I forgot what it was, but I made a note here to remind myself to say here at the end that some of the scholars have mentioned in the shurut of salat, they have mentioned general preconditions that are not specific to salat, but they are preconditions for worship in general. And from amongst what they mentioned is al-Islam. The person has to be a Muslim. Mm-hmm. Wal-aql. They have to be sane with tamyiz. That they have to be of the age of discernment, that they know what they're doing. They know the difference between worship and playing. Okay, so these are also mentioned in some books, al-Islam, al-Aql, al-Tamyiz, but these are conditions that are not specific to Salat. And that's why, and most of the books don't mention it, but in any case, there's no harm in mentioning them as general preconditions for worship. Now,
I did that the last time, Sheikh.
Oh, you were the one who mentioned it. Yeah. I know somebody mentioned it. I just made a note so that we'll come back to it again in the end.
You promised me you're going to ask me.
Yeah. Okay, so, I wrote it down because, you know, otherwise, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I don't write it down. I'll probably forget.
MashaAllah.
Fikum barakallah. Okay, we're going to go to a new topic now. Topic, and again, we can't emphasize the importance of the shurut, of sihat al-salat. It's critically important. This is something that we should know, we should understand, we should be conscious of, we should be thinking about. We should be teaching our families, our children, our friends, our neighbors, whatever opportunity we have, making people know, because sometimes people don't know these things.
No.
And a lot of questions that people get and that come are because people don't know that these are preconditions for that. What if this, what if that? If they knew the preconditions, they would know that they don't need a question. It's finished. The answer is clear. No. These are conditions before the entry into Salat that must be fulfilled. Otherwise the Salat is not valid. Okay, so now we're going into the Salat. Okay, so the first topic we're going to take now is Arkan of Salat. Know that the Salat, that there are different things and there are different actions in the prayer. Some of them are essential pillars of the Salat. And without which the prayer is invalid. If you left one of them out, prayer is invalid. That's different from the wajibat of Salat. Wajibat means those things, it's obligatory to do it. But if you left it out due to forgetfulness, unintentionally, it's possible just to make sajda sahwa or sujood sahwa, and the prayer is still valid. You don't have to make it, you don't have to go back and do it over again. That's from the wajibat. But the arkan of salat means that these are essential pillars without which the prayer is invalid. Okay, so these are critical. And of course, since we are studying fiqh, then certainly there's going to be some differences of opinion here from one book to another. But we're going to kind of stick with what we have here, and some time to time we might make a note on some points that might be a little bit different. I do want to benefit from al-wajiz here on this topic, because sometimes there's some evidences that are mentioned that are not mentioned here, and there might be something mentioned here that's not mentioned there, but hopefully we'll try to catch wherever an extra point came that is not here, we'll try to catch some of the evidences from al-wajiz. Now,
can I ask a question about for the purity of the clothes?
The purity of clothing, now. So, has to be free from najasa.
Now, so, as sooner to wear your shoes, if you know there's no impurity outdoors, so you pray in those. Well, how about, for example, you went to a public bathroom?
No.
And in general, the bathroom is not a pure place. But you, since you're unsure whether there's anything on the floor, if it's water or if it's not water, you just walked in and you stepped on something wet, for example, and you may able to...
Okay, you're in a public bathroom, there's some water on the floor, you don't know if it's mixed with some impurities. Nah, you don't know what's mixed with it. Nah.
Or is just the liquid in general.
Okay.
So you don't know, and it's sticky or whatever the case may be, or with anything else.
Right.
And you have wudu, but since in general you step on something, since you're doubting it, should you still pray in your shoes since it's a doubt?
No, if you stepped in something in a bathroom, some kind of liquid in a bathroom, then it's very likely that it's not clean.
No. So
I mean, Allahu A'lam, but I mean, the man who cleans the bathroom just came out of there and the floor is wet, that's because he was cleaning the bathroom. But otherwise, if you don't know, then it's better, the Prophet said, turn them over and look, you see that they're wet, rub them on the ground, on the dirt, on the soil, and make sure that they're clean, or don't pray in them. And it's better to avoid that, because, pour some water over it or something, to remove the situation of the doubt, wallahu a'lam. Okay, arkan al-salat was saying what? That these are from the things that are essential. Essential pillars. That's different from the wajibat. That's different from the sunan. Huh? We're talking about essential pillars, without which the salah is not valid. Okay, it says here, page 33, we're on the same page where we just finished readings from. Al-salati arkanun tatakawwanu minha. فَإِذَا نَقَصَ مِنْهَا رُكْنٌ فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَكُونُ نَاقِصَةً بَاطِلَةً وَلَا يُعْتَدُّ بِهَا شَرْعًا نُبَيِّنُهَا فِيمَا يَلِي. يعني للصلاة, يعني for the salat, there are pillars, arkan, تَتَكَوَّنُ مِنْهَا, that the prayer is composed of, is made up from. تَتَكَوَّنُ مِنْهَا, مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَرْكَانِ. The salat has pillars which it is composed of. إِذَا نَقَصَ مِنْهَا رُطْنٌ, if the salat has, is defective, meaning it is without, نَقَصَ, defective from any one of these pillars, even one rukn, then the salat will be naqisa, defective, batila, invalid. If one pillar from the pillars of salat is missing, then the prayer became defective and invalid. And in that case, la yu'taddu biha bis-salat, la yu'taddu bis-salat shara'an. In that case, the salat is not it's not counted. And from the perspective of Sharia, it's not considered as though you have performed the salat. It's as though you haven't performed it. It's not counted. And you say, but I just prayed. But that prayer doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's not credited as having prayed shara'an, from the perspective of the Sharia. Now we will clarify, those, arkan, mubayyinuha. نبين الأركان فيما يلي. Number one, القيام في الفرض. القيام في الفرض. The first pillar of salat is standing in the obligatory prayer. Notice it says القيام في الفرض, خلافا للنوافل. This is different from the voluntary prayers. The obligatory prayer is mandatory. It's a pillar of the prayer. If it's an obligatory prayer that you have to stand, and we can add to that, للقادر عليه, for the one who's able to stand. The person who's not able to stand, that's different. Okay? Sunnah prayers, you can sit. But of course the reward will be lessened, will be half. Now. Okay, so the first one is القيام في الفرض. And this is based upon the saying of Allah, لقول الله تعالى وقوموا لله قانتين. And stand for Allah, obediently, submissively, humbly in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُومُوا, this fil amr, وَالْأَمْرَ يَقْتَدِي الْوُجُوبِ. So Allah is commanding us to stand before Him, to stand for Him obediently, submissively, humbly. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 238th ayah. Also from the evidences, قوله وقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. The saying of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he said, I command you, صلوا, that's a command, pray كما رأيتموني, just as you all have seen me praying. This is a command to the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who saw him praying. He said, pray just as you have seen me praying. The same way what you have seen me doing then you do the same. And this is narrated by Al-Bukhari, رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ وَأَحْمَدُ, reported by Al-Bukhari and Ahmed. And we should note here that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray the obligatory prayers standing, unless he was unable to stand. And when he was sick, in the sickness, or he was thrown from his riding animal, or in the sickness before his death, when he wasn't able to stand, then he prayed sitting, because he was unable to stand. When he prayed voluntary prayers, he may have prayed on the riding animal. That's because it's permissible in the voluntary prayers to pray, yani, sitting or lying down on your riding animal. Also, the evidence is for the yani, that the qiyam is a pillar of the salat and the obligatory prayers is hadithi Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu qala kanat bi bawasir. بواسير فسألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الصلاة فقال صلي قائما فإن لم تستطيع فقائدا فإن لم تستطيع فعلى جنب رواه البخاري. يعني the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn رضي الله عنه, he said كان بي بواسير. بواسير is the plural of باسور. It means hemorrhoids. Any sickness, person has hemorrhoids. كَانَ بِي بَوَاسِيرُ. So I had this sickness. فَسَأَلْتُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى السَّلَاةِ. I asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning the prayer, because يعني his sickness have some difficulty in performing the prayer properly. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, صَلِّي قَائِمًا. That's a command. صَلِّي قَائِمًا. You must pray standing. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعَ فَقَائِدًا. But if you're not able to stand, then you may pray sitting. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ فَعَلَى جَمْ. And if you're not even able to pray sitting, then you may pray laying on your side. By the way, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ فَعَلَى جَمْ. And in the end of the line, last line, it says, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِيعْ. يعني the ya should be ta. Should be ta. يعني if you are unable, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ. Both of them should be the same. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ فَقَائِدًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ رواه البخاري. And also narrated by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and others. Okay, so far, يعني, he has mentioned the evidence from the Quran, he mentioned evidence from the hadith, prayers you have seen me praying, and he was praying standing, and he also mentioned this hadith about a person who had some difficulty due to sickness. The Prophet said, pray standing. But if you're not able, then you may pray sitting. If you're not able, then you may pray laying on the side. On the next page, page 34, it reads, فَمَنْ كَانَ قَادِرًا عَلَى الْقِيَامِ وَلَمْ يَقُمْ فِي صَلَاةِ الْفَرِيضَةِ بَطَلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. So whoever is able, has the ability to stand, قَادِرًا عَلَى الْقِيَامِ, but they didn't stand in the obligatory prayer, the salat al-fariidah, بَطَلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ, then their prayer became invalid. Okay? Notice, فَمَنْ كَانَ قَادِرًا, and the person who is able. And by the way, we can mention here that this is يعني, not only for standing, but it's for bowing, it's for prostrating, and the mistake that many, many people make is that when they are not able to stand, they think that they are now free from prostrating too. So they pray in a chair and they don't prostrate. Even though they are able to prostrate. The fact that you're not able to stand excuses you from standing. It doesn't excuse you from bowing and prostrating. This is a big mistake that people make it every day. Lots and lots of people who are able to prostrate, they are not prostrating. Because they say, I can't stand. What's that got to do with prostrating? There's no relation between the two. Aslan, the Prophet ﷺ prayed sitting on the ground, not on a chair. It's permissible. If a person can't sit on the ground, they can pray in a chair. But if they're able to prostrate, you don't have to prostrate. Okay, so let's just make a note here, because this is a very important point. I mean, I've seen so many people, and people say, but I can't stand. It has nothing to do with prostration.
For the prostration also, that friend said, I did not record it. You cannot... you cannot go prostrating, that's mandatory to go or whatever.
If you cannot prostrate? If you cannot prostrate, you're excused. I'm saying you are able, person who's able to prostrate, but they're not able to stand. And because you're not able to stand doesn't mean you're not able to prostrate. It has nothing to do with prostration. Okay. A person might not be able to stand or prostrate. That's possible. But we're saying, if a person is not able to stand, you're excused from standing. Okay. You're not able to prostrate, you're excused from prostration. But there's no relation between the two.
Yeah. This is why your brother, he stands and he prostrates and he sits.
Yeah, he can't stand because of his back, but he can prostrate. So he gets out of the chair and prostrates and gets back in the chair. Now,
this will go for all of the movements of the salah. So for example, if a person can't prostrate, he can stand for example, like he could go into the court, but he can't stand for a prolonged time.
No
specifics. Would that mean his salah does not be counted if he can do the court, but he doesn't? For example, but he can't, he just can't stand.
Okay, he can't stand, he probably sitting on the floor or in a chair as alternatively.
Yes, and then
that person, he can bow, he should bow. He doesn't have to stand up to bow, but he has to bow.
And if he doesn't bow and he can.
And if he doesn't bow and he can, bowing in the prayer, as we will come in a minute, is one of the arkan of salah. The prayer is invalid without it. It's invalid without it. Person able to bow has to bow. Person able to prostrate has to prostrate. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about these things that we're mentioning here. So amongst the arkan of salat, there are things that you have to say and there are things that you have to do. So from amongst the things you have to do, you have to stand. You have to bow. You have to rise up from bowing. You have to prostrate. You have to sit in between the two prostrations. All of those are things that you have to do. Those are arkan of salat. The salat is invalid without it. Why is the salat? Whoever is able to do one of them and doesn't do it, prayer is invalid. Allah will stand.
This sitting, the Prophet, was this on his high, on his buttocks, or on his, you know, how was this sitting?
According to some of the narrations, mutarabbi', yani he sat cross legged. Yani, like this. There's a narration in the Sunan of Nasa'i, and it's Sahih, that the Prophet prays sitting, yeah, like that. In any case, the person according to their ability, if they can't stand, they can sit. If they can't sit on the floor even, they might have difficulty, they can't sit. Then they may sit in a chair. But whatever they're able to do, they have to do. مَنْ كَانَ قَادِرًا عَلَى الْقِيَامِ وَلَمْ يَكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ الْفَرِيضَةِ بَطَلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. The prayer became invalid. Person is able to stand, they didn't stand in the obligatory prayer. We're not talking about voluntary prayers, then the prayer is invalid. وَأَمَّا فِي النَّافِلَةِ, as far as in the voluntary prayers, فَالصَّلَاةُ الْقَاعِدِ مَعَ الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى الْقِيَامِ صَحِيحَةٌ لَكِنْ ثَوَابُهُ عَلَى نِصْفِ أَوْ نُصْفِ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْقَائِمِ. As far as in the voluntary prayers, then the prayer of a person sitting, even though they have the ability to stand, the prayer is valid, is sahiha. However, the reward for it is half of the reward of the prayer of the standing person. And a person is able to stand, voluntary prayers, they elect to sit. The prayer is valid, but the prayer will be half of the reward of the person who prays standing. Li hadithi Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala حدثتُ أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلاة الرجل قاعدا نصف الصلاة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. يعني this ruling here that the prayer of the person, the voluntary prayer of the person sitting who's able to stand, the reward is half, is based on the hadith of Abd ibn Umar. May Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father Umar. قال, he said, I have حدثتُ, it was reported to me that the Prophet ﷺ said, the prayer of the man sitting is half of the prayer. Yani the reward is half of the prayer of the person standing, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَمَنْ عَجَزَ عَنَ الْقِيَامِ فِي الْفَرْضِ صَلَّى عَلَى حَسَبْ قُدْرَتِهِ وَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا كَامِلًا. Another point. The one who is unable, incapable of standing in the obligatory prayer. Obligatory prayer, you have to stand. But what about the person who is incapable? The person who is incapable of standing in the obligatory prayer, then that person prays عَلَى حَسَبِ قُدْرَتِهِ, according to his ability or her ability, depending on their ability. وَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا كَامِلًا, and he or she will have its reward, the reward of that prayer, complete, perfect, complete reward. Even though they didn't stand, because what? يعني they're not able to stand. The proof of this, لِحَدِيثِ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالْ إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. This is a tremendous hadith. We come across this hadith previously somewhere.
No.
Anyway, it's a very important hadith. Huh?
No,
in one of the classes, yes. This hadith to me, I think, is one of the beautiful hadith that I ever read. MashaAllah. First time I read it, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentioned it in Tawdeeh al-Bayan, the Shaykh al-Iman, which is a tremendous book, and the Tree of Faith. In that book, he mentioned it near the end of the book. This hadith, the hadith of Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet said, if an abd, yani a worshipper of Allah, became sick, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدِ, or he traveled, or she traveled, كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مُقِيمًا صَحِيحًا, then it will be recorded for that person who is sick, and who is unable to do what they were doing when they were healthy, who is traveling, who is unable to do what they were able to do when they were resident. It will be recorded for them the like of what they used to do when they were muqeem, resident, and sahih, healthy. Yani the same reward they used to get when they were healthy, if they used to do some good deeds, and now they became sick and unable to do it, they will still be getting that reward as they used to get when they were doing it, when they were healthy. Because the only thing stopping them from doing it is that they're sick. The only thing that stops them from doing it is that they're traveling. But when they were residents, they used to do it, so then it will continue to be recorded for them. The problem here is, if when we were healthy and resident, we weren't doing anything, for them, nothing will be recorded. So this is a beautiful hadith. In order to get it, you have to be doing something when you're healthy. Right? So maybe when you get sick, you'll be good, mashallah. Now, this is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is really, yani, subhanAllah. Now, so, I mean, this hadith, yani, is a proof of what? It's a proof that a person is required to do what they're able to do according to their ability. Person not able, Allah still records for them. And you're not able to stand, but when you was healthy, you used to stand. So now you're not able to stand, you still get the reward, full reward, as though you, when you were standing. Yani, so this is different than the person who, yani, is able to stand in the voluntary prayers, but they don't stand, so they still get credit for the salat, but they get half the reward. Here we're talking about obligatory prayer. Person is not able to stand, so then they're excused from that, and the reward is given to them in full. Okay, I just want to just take a quick look and see under this first matter, which is in Al-Wajiz on page 86, it's listed as number 2, Al-Qiyam Fil-Fard, Al-Qadir Alayhi, for the one who is able. He mentions the ayat that we already mentioned, and he mentions that the Prophet used to pray standing, and he mentions Amr ibn Dhalik and Amr ibn Hussein, and the hadith that we just read, where he ordered Imran ibn Hussein to pray standing, and if you're not able to pray sitting, you're not able to pray on your side. Okay, that's what he mentioned, so we already covered all of that. Okay, the second point from the Arkan of Salat is Takbiratul Ihram. In Al-Wajiz, it came as point number 1. Just in case, if you go back, you find Takbiratul Ihram Al-Wajiz as point number 1. Here we have it at point number 2, Takbiratul Ihram. He said, وَلَغْضُهَا Allahu Akbar. Yani the wording for the Takbiratul Ihram is Allahu Akbar. وَلَا يُجْزِي غَيْرُهَا, meaning
there's nothing that can come like this.
لَا يُجْزِي, يعني you will not get rewarded for other than Allahu Akbar. Meaning you can't say something else in place of it. It's not, you don't give credit. Unless you say Allahu Akbar. لا يجري غيرها. Anything, any other wording? يعني Allahu Ajal, Allahu Azim. No. It has to be Allahu Akbar. And this is based on the hadith of Ali. The hadith of Ali رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مفتاح الصلاة الطهور. مفتاح الصلاة الطهور وتحريمها تحريم الصلاة التكبير وتحليلها التسليم. يعني it should read مفتاح الصلاة الطهور وتحريمها التكبير تكبير وتحليلها التسليم. خبر مرفوع بالضمة. Okay, the hadith of Ali رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the مفتاح الصلاة, the key through which you open the salat. If you didn't open it, guess what? You can't get in, right? The key of the salat is at-tuhur. You have to be in a state of purification. وَتَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ. And what? The tahrimuha, the thing that makes it forbidden to do normal speech and actions. The thing that makes it forbidden for you to do those things is when you say Allahu Akbar. Takbir. When you say Allahu Akbar. Once you say that, it's forbidden to do any actions or any speech that you normally were doing unless it's connected to the salah. Unless it's something connected to the salah. It became forbidden. Tahrimuha is a takbir. Wa tahleeluha taslim. Tahleel halal. Yani, that which makes lawful for you to do normal speech and actions that are not connected to the salah is when you do the taslim. That is when you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa assalamu alaikum. In the various ways that's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdul Haq has reminded us on several occasions that from the Sunnah is to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the right and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the left. That's from the Sunnah. Now, that's from the Sunnah. And the most common Sunnah is you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. But to add to it or to take from it is also from the Sunnah. Naam. So this, yani, this hadith is a proof of, yani, the takbir. Takbirut al-ihram, yani, it is that which makes it prohibited for a person to do any action or to speak any speech that's not connected to the salat. The takbirut al-ihram. This hadith rawahu Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi wa al-Hakim wa sahahahu, yani al-Hakim sahahahu وغيرهم. يعني this hadith reported by Abu Dawood and it's also reported by Al-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim said that it was sahih and others besides them have narrated this hadith. Now, takbiru, نعم with dhamma, نعم خبر وتحريمها التكبير وتحليلها التسليم. Umar.
Like you said, salam are in three ways. Suppose you want to just say assalamu alaikum without adding wa rahmatullahi.
You can say, it's also from the Sunnah.
Is that just once on your right or you have to do both sides left and right?
Once.
Oh, okay.
Once, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, yani, without turning completely to the right.
Oh, okay.
Without turning completely to the right.
You come into that, it's there. It's in the book.
Say it.
So, Ahariyah?
No, I'm saying in the hadith. يعني in the hadith, in the book, مفتاح الصلاة التهور وتحريمها التكبير. It has a fatka on takbir. Should be a dhamma. Should be a dhamma. التكبير. نعم.
تحريمها is haram in this word here?
Yes. تحريمها means that it's haram, the thing that makes speech and action that's not connected to the salat forbidden. يعني speech and action not connected to the salat is forbidden. By the takbir. Once you say Allahu Akbar, خلاص, all the other stuff stops. Now, okay. So this hadith is reported by Al-Tirmidhi, I mean Abu Dawud and Al-Tirmidhi and Hakim said it's sahih and others reported it. And another proof that they mention here, وَلِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ في المسيء صلاته. يعني the hadith of Abu Hurairah concerning the one who performed his prayer poorly. إذا قمت, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فكبر. يعني if you stand up to pray the prayer, then say Allahu Akbar. كبر means يعني to say Allahu Akbar. فكبر فعل أمر. Okay, as far as this point, I don't think there's anything in Wajiz other than what we already mentioned. Same hadith now. Okay. Takbiratul Ihram. Its expression, its wording should be Allahu Akbar and not other than that. Third, yani pillar from the pillars of Salat, Qira'atul Fatihati. Qira'atul Al-Fatihati. Yani the recitation of the opening surah of the Quran, Suratul Fatiha. وَهِيَ رُكْنٌ فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةٍ مِنْ رَكَعَاتِ النَّفْلِ وَالْفَرْضِ عَلَى الْإِمَامِ وَالْمُنْفَرِدِ وَاخْتُلِفَ فِي الْمَأْمُومِ وَالْحَقُّ أَنَّهَا رُكْنٌ يعني حتى في المأموم فَيَقْرَأْ بِهَا الْمَأْمُومُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. We'll come to the evidence. يعني قراءة الفاتحة is a pillar ruknun in every rak'ah of the rak'ahs of the voluntary prayers and the obligatory prayers. يعني it doesn't matter if the prayer is obligatory or voluntary, in every rak'ah of every prayer, al-fatiha must be recited. It's obligatory upon the imam, and it's obligatory upon the person who's praying alone. Voluntary prayer, obligatory prayer. There's difference of opinion concerning the ma'amum, meaning the one who is following the imam. The ma'amum is the one who's following the imam. يعني اسم مفعول, the one who's following. وَالْحَقُّ أَنَّهَا رُكْنٌ. But there's difference of opinion, but what is correct is that it is a rukn, even on the ma'amum. Therefore, he must recite it. The ma'amum must recite it to himself. في نفسه. يعني not while the imam is reciting. But he will recite it to himself. Meaning in a low tone. Recite to himself does not mean that he or she just thinks about al-Fatiha. Thinking about it. No, it means recite. يقرأ. يتلى. يتلو. But
no.
بصوتٍ يعني منخفض, in a low tone, not to disturb the other people. Either in the pause of the imam, because we talk about the person following the imam, either in the pause of the imam when he paused after each ayah, which is sunnah, Prophet ﷺ used to do it, or when the imam is reciting after al-Fatiha. And some said you can recite it in the pause of the imam after al-Fatiha, but it's not from the sunnah for the imam to pause after al-Fatiha. That's not from the sunnah. But in any case, if the imam doesn't follow the sunnah and he pauses after al-Fatiha, recite. Hopefully he doesn't pause, and except a second in between the recitation of al-Fatiha, but not pause like we find people today. Mm-hmm. They're pausing to give the people a chance to recite al-Fatiha. That's not from the sunnah.
So, to the last thing you said, when that pause after, so you know how, especially nowadays, a lot of places, they won't give you the time, so they'll say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
They don't pause in between ayats.
So, yes. Yeah, so
in that case, you're gonna wait. When he refinished Al-Fatiha, and says Ameen, and he starts reciting something else, you may recite Al-Fatiha while he's reciting.
Na'am. That pause that you're talking about, I've read in Fatawa that you shouldn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and I think it's an opinion, they say the difference of opinion. You shouldn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha until the Imam starts reciting the next Surah, let's say Surah Al-Ikhlas. Mm-hmm. So until he says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, you shouldn't have started Fatiha until he says that. But you're saying if the pause is longer, just go right into it, is that what you're saying?
If the Imam pauses at any time, you have to recite Al-Fatiha. It's not specified that you have to recite when the imam starts reciting Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Rather, the Prophet used to pause after every ayah. If the Imam doesn't do that, he doesn't follow the Sunnah, then you recite when you get a chance, because it's obligatory. When you get a chance. Yeah, we have to go on.
If the Imam began to say that, that was a very short surah.
Yeah.
And he said it real fast. And you waiting, like you said, pausing.
No.
And then we started reciting the Fatiha, which is about to pause itself, not blah, 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 blah. And you don't get a chance before he's going to rukuah. I mean, what's the loss of that?
Then, I mean, if you don't get a chance to recite al Fatiha because the Imam, he doesn't follow the Sunnah, then the next time when it's time for prayer, go to a different masjid. Don't pray behind that Imam.
No.
And in any case, the person who's unable, because they're incapable or because they are not allowed to, then they're excused, right? The person who's unable. Because the Prophet said, my ummah is excused. Allah pardon my ummah for that which they did by mistake or due to forgetfulness or under compulsion. And if a person doesn't allow you, they force you not to be able to do something that's obligatory, then you're excused for that. You're pardoned. Allah pardons that. Al-Fatiha. We're talking about Al-Fatiha. We're not talking about reciting another surah after Al-Fatiha. We're talking about Al-Fatiha. And that's what's obligatory here. I mean, and it's the Rukn. Rukn from the Arkan of Salat. Qira'at al-Fatiha. So, we said here, right? There's a Rukn in every rak'ah of every prayer, voluntary or obligatory. For the Imam as well as the person who's praying alone. And there's difference of opinion about the person who's following the Imam, the Ma'amum. However, what is correct is that it's also a Rukn. In his case, he must recite a Fatiha to himself or herself in a low tone. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى وُجُوبِهَا فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةٍ وَعَدَمِ سُقُوتِهَا لَا سَهْوًا وَلَا جَهْلًا قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ في حديث عبادة ابن صامت لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب رواه الجماعة. Okay, so we're saying here that the proof that it's obligatory, necessary to recite al-Fatiha in every rak'ah of every prayer, and that obligation is not dismissed, it's not dropped, it's not eliminated. عدم سقوطها. Yani it's not eliminated, not due to sahwa, meaning forgetfulness. Yani it's not dropped because the person forgot to recite it. It's still a rukn and it's obligatory to recite. Not due to jahla, ignorance. The person didn't know. I didn't know it's obligatory to recite al-Fatiha. The person is not excused. Yani it's obligatory to recite every rak'ah of every prayer. And you are not excused because you forgot or because you were ignorant. And the proof of this is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There's no salah for the one who didn't recite al-Fatiha, the opening of the book, Fatiha al-Kitab. لا صلاة, this is لا نافل الجنس. And for that reason, salat here is mansoob. Because ism la, and nafil al-jins is mansoob. La salata. There is absolutely no prayer. La and nafia al-jins. Absolute negation. There is no prayer for the one who didn't recite the opening of the book. Anyway, there could be some discussion about this. We don't have time for now. But the point is, some scholars have explained this la salata, in other places, in other occasions, that the meaning there's no prayer, they have explained it different ways. But the way it is apparent, the apparent meaning of it here is that it means that there's no prayer. You don't have prayer. And prayer is not valid. It's not accredited. Wallahu a'lam. For the one who doesn't recite Fatiha al-Kitab. And this is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and he has affirmed and supported this opinion with innumerable narrations in a juz related to Qira'at al-Fatiha, a book in which he wrote just dealing with the obligation of reciting al-Fatiha and Salat. The whole thing is only narrations concerning the obligation of reciting al-Fatiha. That's the only topic, that's all he dealt with. He brought all the narrations that he knew yani of every type and from every source that supports the obligation of reciting Al-Fatiha. Yani for the one who's behind the imam. In any case, this is an obligation that is not dropped due to forgetfulness nor to ignorance. This hadith, hadith of Ubadah radiallahu anhu, is reported by Al-Bukhari. And second evidence that he mentions, وَلِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ صَلَّى صَلَاةً لَمْ يَقْرَأْ فِيهَا بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ فَهِيَ خِدَاجٌ هِيَ خِدَاجٌ هِيَ خِدَاجٌ غَيْرُ تَمَامٍ رَوَهُ الشَّيْخَانِ وأحمد and others. Okay, the second evidence is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever prays a prayer in which he has not recited, لم يقرأ فيها, يعني في الصلاة, in that prayer he didn't recite, بفاتحة الكتاب, the opening of the book, فهي خداج, and he repeated it three times, هي, يعني الصلاة, هي خداج, هي خداج. And then he explained, what is khidaj? غَيْرُ تَمَامٍ is not complete. This hadith reported by al-Shaykhan wa Ahmed. Question, what is the i'rab of al-Shaykhani? رَوَاهُ al-Shaykhani. مَرْفُوعٌ. Why is it مَرْفُوعٌ?
فَائِلٌ.
رَوَاهُ al-Shaykhani. فَائِلٌ مَرْفُوعٌ وَلَمْ تُرَفِهِ
أَلِفٌ.
لماذا؟
Jump.
Shaykhan is Bukhari Muslim.
Musanna.
Musanna. Musanna. لأنه مسنة. Now. This is point number three. قرأت الفاتحة في الكتاب. As far as this, the Al-Wajiz, they mention the Hadith of Ubadah. And they also mention the Prophet watering the one who prayed poorly. He ordered him with to recite Al-Fatiha, and then in the end of that hadith he said, and do this, يعني ثُمَّ فَعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا, meaning he ordered him to recite Al-Fatiha, and in the end of it he said, and do like that in the whole of your prayer, meaning in every rak'ah. That's يعني added proof that they brought here concerning the obligation of Al-Fatiha. Now,
can I say something about the opinion of Sheikh Albani?
No.
I read his book, Sifat to Salah.
No.
And he mentioned the reading the Fatiha, uh-huh, and when the Imam is reciting loudly.
No.
And he mentioned there that he said that it's prohibited. Because no. He said that his opinion is that he gave two or three hadiths about that one was a summary.
Right.
He said that the first one, the Prophet was praying, the Sahaba were reading, and when he finished, asked them, are you reading after me? They said, yeah. Yes. They said, do not read except Al-Fatiha.
Do not? Yes.
Uh-huh. And the second one, he was praying, and somebody was reading. And when he asked them, he said, he said, are you competing with me?
Competing with me, yeah. In other words, reciting while I'm reciting.
And then he stopped them from, he stopped them, and in the hadith, Sheikh Albani mentioned that Abu Huraira said that after that, they stopped reading at all during the loud prayer. And Sheikh Albani continued saying that, not reading the Salah, the Fatiha, or not reading anything when the Imam is reading loudly is part of following the Imam. And he said that, for example, and the Prophet said that the Imam is making to be followed, and what you recite is also for you.
Now, okay, this is a long discussion. And whoever wants to go back and read the discussion, with the Salat, Sheikh Al-Bani is saying that a person shouldn't recite Al-Fatiha in the loud prayers. Sheikh Al-Sam Taymiyyah discussed this topic in about 70 pages. He talked about it in detail, completely. And his conclusion from the evidences, all of them can, together, is that a person must recite Al-Fatiha, even in the loud prayers, not while the Imam is reciting. but not while the imam is reciting. In any case, it's a long discussion, and it requires some time, and that would be one subject that will deal with the whole class one day. But for now, we'll just suffice to say that there's difference of opinion about it, and some scholars hold the opinion that you shouldn't recite in the loud prayers, that the imam, you're praying behind the imam, and you're saying out loud, you shouldn't recite al-Fatiha behind him, but rather the prayer, the recitation of the imam is sufficient for the ma'moon. There's difference of opinion about this matter. Al-Imam al-Bukhari also doesn't agree with this opinion, but rather he agrees that it's required to recite al-Fatiha in every rak'ah of every prayer, whether you're praying alone or praying behind the imam, in the loud prayer or in the inaudible prayers, and so on. So there's difference of opinion about it, and Shaykh al-Bani brings some good evidences concerning it. It's worth going back and reading. But for now, in order for us to finish this class, we're not going to do the rest of the class on this topic, except to say that this is an opinion, and there's another opinion, and from amongst those who hold the opinion that it's mandatory, Imam Bukhari wrote a book about this topic, just about this, all the narrations that support his opinion concerning this, the ma'mum, reciting al-Fatiha, even behind the imam, not while the imam is reciting though, and Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah also agrees with that opinion, although he explained it a little bit differently now, in Majmu'a Fatawa. There were a whole topic on this, as I remember, it was about 70 pages. And then we're going to go to the next topic, quickly.
That's another thing, when you tell us the prayers you have seen me pray.
Yeah, prayers you have seen me pray.
And he also said that the lesson lasted from his pause after each ayah.
Yeah.
So, where does it come from that we have the Qari where they join the ayah?
And it's just they're not following the sunnah. Yeah, the people who don't pause after every ayah, it's just because they're not following the sunnah. Yeah, you have to pause after every ayah.
You should be pondering over what is being recited.
Yeah, he recited. And then he paused momentarily, and he recited, and he paused momentarily. As far as connecting the ayahs together, that's not from the sunnah. And the prayer is still valid, but it's not the sunnah.
And that was only al-Fatiha or
al-Surah? Oh, yeah. Al-Fatiha. Yeah. No, he recited generally like that, but the hadith is in reference to al-Fatiha. Now. Does he need to finish al-Fatiha before we start it?
Yeah.
Apparently that's a view of some scholars, as Waleed mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
We have to go back and look at their view and see what is the detailed evidence for supporting it, but what appears to be more correct, and Allah knows best, the opinion of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah is that you can recite after the imam, after every ayah. You don't have to wait until you finish al-Fatiha. He said that clearly in Majmu'a Fatawa. After every ayah, if the imam pauses and that is the sunnah, you can recite behind him like that. That's what Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said. This is what I remember. I read it clearly. So there's obviously some difference of opinion about it. I don't know the other opinion, what's the evidence, but Al-Walid mentioned it in Fatawa Islamiyyah. The Lajna Daima.
No, I'm not mistaken, I'm like 99%, I don't think
Alright, so sure in any case, if we could go back, anybody can go back and look, including to Waleed, if anybody can go back and look and see what's the other side, then perhaps we can look at what is the point, where they dip it. Let's go to point number 4.
What is Khidajun?
Khidajun, the Prophet said that whoever, when he didn't recite al-Fatiha, then فَهِيَ يعني الصَّلَاةِ هِيَ خِدَاجٌ. He repeated it 3 times. At the end of the hadith he said, يعني هِيَ خِدَاجٌ غَيْرُ تَمَامٍ. خِدَاج means that it's defective. It's not complete and perfect. يعني the prayer is defective. خِدَاج means غَيْرُ تَمَامٍ. Not complete and perfect. Okay, point number 4, الرُّكُوعُ. Ar-Rukua, the fourth pillar from the pillars of Salat is Ar-Rukua, bowing. The proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى بَعْدَ عُوذِ بِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِرْقَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Surah Hajj, 22nd Surah, 77th Ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ O you who believe, bow, ارْكَعُوا, bow, down, wasjudu and prostrate. Wa'budu rabbakum, worship your Rabb. Wa'falu al-khayra, and do all kinds of good. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you may be successful. And in this ayah, came the shahid. The point here in this ayah is Allah is addressing the believers, O you who believe, irka'u. Command form, fil amra, bow down and prostrate and worship your Rabb. And this means that it's obligatory. Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 77th Ayah. وَلِقَوْلِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِلْمُصِيفِ صَلَاتِهِ ثُمَّ رُكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاقِعًا. And this is a hadith we took in our hadith class. Yani, the saying of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم to the one who performed his prayer poorly. لِلْمُصِيفِ صَلَاتِهِ. He didn't perform his prayer well. The Prophet, in the body of that hadith, he said, ثُمَّ رُكَعْ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ رَاقِعًا. Then bow until you are completely at calm. Yani, you're completely calm, repose, yani tranquil. Yani, you bow until you are completely calm. Yani, not go into the bowing position and hasten out of it, but stay in the bowing position until you are yani firmly fixed and calm in that position. Tatma'inna raqiyan. Yani, till you are at complete rest and calm in the bowing position. And we know that in this hadith it also came, حَتَّى تَتْمَعِنَّ سَاجِدًا. يعني حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا. نعم. So we know that in this wording came, the tuma'nina came for the bowing position, for the standing position after bowing, for the prostration, and for the sitting between two prostrations. It came in that hadith with this kind of wording, حَتَّى تَتْمَعِنَّ. Yani rakin and sajidan, jalisan, and so on. In any case, in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told him related to ruku, then bow and remain bowing until you're completely calm and at rest in the bowing position. Third evidence, the hadithi Abi Mas'ud al-Badri, yani al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, لا تجزي صلاة لا يقيم الرجل فيها صلبه في الركوع والسجود. رواه الخمسة وابن خزيمة وابن حبان والطبراني والبيهقي وصححه وقال الترمذي حسن صحيح. And in the third evidence, the second hadith is the hadith of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri رضي الله عنه, also known as Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari, that the Prophet ﷺ said, La tujzi salatun. A prayer will not be giving credit. Will not be giving credit for having performed the prayer. La tujzi salatun. With salat, La yuqimu al-rajulu fiha sulbahu fil-ruku'i wa-sujudi. Yani the prayer in which the man or the person, La yuqimu fiha sulbahu. He doesn't make his back upright, straight. Upright in that prayer. He doesn't, لا يقيم الرجل فيها. In that prayer, he doesn't يقيم صلبه, his back. He doesn't straighten it out so that he's straight up. Yani, so that the back is straight, I'm sorry, not straight up, but it's not straight. Yani, لا يقيم صلبه في الركوع والسجود. His back has to be straight in the ruku, and his back has to be straight in sujood. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, which means,
Khamsa, Bukhari Muslim?
Khamsa.
Al-Khamsa.
Ahmad.
Abu
Dawud. Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasai, and Ibn Majah. The four Sunan. Al-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nasai, and Ahmad is Al-Khamsa. In addition to the Khamsa, Ibn Khuzaymah in his Sahih, and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, and Al-Tabarani in one of his books, Majma' yani group of collection al-Kubra wal-Sughra wal-Awsat, yani three different books of hadith in one of them, and al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan, he said that it's sahih, and al-Tirmidhi said that it's hasan sahih. Yani in this hadith the proof is what? That the back yani that the ruku and the sujood, but we're talking about ruku right here, the back has to be straightened out. Person should straighten their back out when they are in ruku. And there are other narrations concerning the straightening of the back of ruku, but the point here is that this ruku, as well as in this hadith, the sujood is mentioned as what? As essential pillars of the salat, without which the prayer is not credited. La tujzi salatun. The prayer is not credited if the person hasn't performed the ruku and the sujood properly. This is ruku. In Wajiz, on page 86, it says 4 and 5, ruku and tuma'nina fihi. Yani performing the ruku and being calm and at rest in the ruku, based on the ayah that we mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. And he also mentioned the salat of the one who performed his salat fully with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so to perform ruku and to be at rest in the ruku. So there's nothing extra here. And this mentioned, we go to the next point, and there's still a little bit of time left. We'll take just a few more minutes, and then we'll stop, inshallah. The next point, number 5, is الرَّفَعُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ وَالْإِعْتِدَالِ قَائِمًا. الرَّفَعُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ. Yani also from the pillars of the salat is that a person has to stand up from ruku. And you have to rise up from ruku. Rising up from ruku. وَالْإِعْتِدَالِ قَائِمًا. And that a person must stand upright, erect. اعتدال means to be straight, upright, erect. قائمًا, standing, rising up from ruku to a standing position where they're standing upright, erect. And this is also يعني, a mistake that many people make in the salah, especially when they're hastily praying, يعني, that they stand up from ruku and before they even get all the way up, they start going down to sajda. Before they get up and standing upright and erect, and stand there for a moment calmly, they just go straight to sajda. So this is from the essential pillars of the salat, that a person when they rise from ruku, they have to stand upright, erect, and stay there for a moment. Yani, حَتَّى تَطْمَعِنَّ قَائِمًا أَوْ تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا أَوْ تَسْتَوِي قَائِمًا. Now it came in different narrations, different wording. The point here is that the standing up from ruku is a pillar, and standing there calmly is also part of that pillar. And we'll talk about the yani the tuma'anina as a point from the pillars of salat as we go along, inshallah. The proof of this is the liqawli Abi Humaydin radiallahu anhu fi sifati salati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. He said, وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ اسْتَوَى قَائِمًا حَتَّى يَعُودَ كُلُّ فَقَارٍ إِلَى مَكَانِهِ مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ. There's a footnote on فَقَارٍ, we'll come to that. Yani, the proof of the rising up from ruku and standing upright is the saying of Abu Humayd in Sifat Salati Rasulillah, and what he narrated from the description of the prayer of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, إِلَى رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ. Yani, he's describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prayer. He said, إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ إِسْتَوَى قَائِمًا. That whenever he would raise his head up, he would إِسْتَوَى قَائِمًا. He would stand upright, straight up. Standing straight up, upright, erect. حَتَّى يَعُودَ كُلَّ فَقَارٍ إِلَى مَكَانِهِ. Until every bone, yani from his back bones, until every bone returned to its place. حَتَّى يَعُودُ كُلَّ فَقَارٍ إِلَى مَكَانِهِ. Until every bone returns its place, means a person standing completely upright, erect, according to their ability. And in the footnote, فَقَارٍ, it says, فَقَارٍ جَمْعُ فَقَارَ وَهِيَ عِظَامُ الظَّهْرُ. يعني فَقَار is the plural of فَقَارَ وَتَرْمَبُوتَ, and it is the bones of the back, or the backbone. Backbone, till the backbone is straight. So here in this description of Abu Humayd radiallahu anhu of the Prophet ﷺ's prayer, he said that when he raised his head up, yani from ruku, he would stand upright, erect, until yani every bone in his back was in its place. Muttafaqun alayhi, we put about Bukhari Muslim. Second evidence, وَقَوْلِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَكَانَ إِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ لَمْ يَسْجُدْ حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا رواه مسلم. This hadith recorded by Imam Muslim from Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, her saying from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or concerning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَكَانَ, يعني she said concerning the Prophet, كَانَ, he used to do like this. If he raised his head from bowing, لَمْ يَسْجُدْ, he would not prostrate, حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, until he was standing upright, erect, straight up. He wouldn't prostrate. And he didn't stand up and immediately go to prostration, rather, he wouldn't move, yani, towards prostration until he was upright, erect, standing erect. And we will also add to this, and from the other narrations, that until he was at calm, repose, tranquil in that position. Third evidence, وَلِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِمُصِيْفِ صَلَاتِهِ ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا, in some of the narrations, تَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, in some of the narrations, not written here, in the narration that we discussed when we did this hadith and hadith class, حَتَّى تَطْمَعِنَّ قَائِمًا. All of those came in authentic hadith, the instruction of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to the one who performed his prayer poorly. He said then, yani his description of what he should be doing, he said then, rise up, ثُمَّ رَفَعْ حَتَّى تَعْتَدِلَ قَائِمًا, until you are completely upright, standing upright. And some of the narration said, تَسْتَوِيَ, upright, straight up. And some of the narration said, came like also in this word. This hadith is reported by Bukhari Muslim. And this is the proof of what? Yani, these are some of the proofs of the obligation of standing upright after bowing. In Al-Wajiz, he mentions Al-Itidal Ba'ad Al-Ruku Wa Tuma'anina Fihi. Yani, he mentions the hadith we already mentioned, that the prayer is not credited for the person who doesn't make their back straight in ruku and sujood. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صلاته ثم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يعني concerning the man who performed the prayer poorly, يعني then rise up until your back is straight. Okay, so this is what we already read from our book. Okay, after this, number six, as-sujood. Maybe we'll stop with this one. As-sujood, يعني from the arkan of, and we have about halfway through, so we'll get to see the last one. From the arkan of salat is as-sujood. And mind you, that we had so far from the arkan of salat, we have standing from positions, we have standing, and we had bowing, and we have rising up from standing to upright position, and now we have from the actions, and now we have prostration. So that's four so far. And we had, as far as the recitation, we had Takbirul Ihram and Al-Fatiha. That's six. So this is number six. Four actions and two sayings from 12. Okay, there are two more sayings that they will add, and there are also, yani, two more actions, and then there are two other matters, a Tartib and a Tuma'anina, making 12. And some scholars mentioned it a little bit different. They connected some things to others, and they separated certain things and whatever, but in any case, and basically, and these are the most important things. As sujood. وَصِفَتُهُ, yani the description of sujood, أَنْ يُمَكِّنَ جَبْهَتَهُ وَأَنْفَهُ وَكَفَّيْهِ وَرُكْبَتَيْهِ وَأَطْرَفُ قَدَمَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And this is very important, the description of as-sajda, as-sujood, which is, yani, lost for many of the people today, except the people of sunnah, who believe in exalting the sunnah, huh? And believe in calling others to the sunnah. And therefore, how can you exalt the sunnah unless you, yani, know it? So the people of sunnah spend time in knowing these things. It's authentically narrated how the Prophet used to prostrate. His description is that he used to make sure that his jabha, his forehead, يُمَكِّنُ جَبْحَتَهُ وَأَنْفَهُ, make sure that the forehead and the nose are touching, firmly established on the ground. The forehead and the nose. Many people prostrate on their forehead without making their nose touch the ground. the nose must touch the ground. وَكَفَيْهِ and the two palms of the hand, the palms up to the wrist, not the arm up to the elbow. That should not be touching the ground. The palms only. The arms should be raised up and only the palms should be touching the ground. وَرُكْبَتَيْهِ and the knees should be touching the ground. وَأَطْرَفُ قَدَمَيْهِ and the extremities of the feet, meaning the toes. The toes of the feet should also be firmly established on the ground, yani min al-ard. So there are, yani how many parts of the body?
Seven
parts that the Prophet ordered us to prostrate with. The forehead, which includes the nose, the two palms, the two knees, and the extremities of the feet. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ رُكْنٌ and the proof that this is also a pillar, the pillars of Salah, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى the saying of Allah the Most High, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِمِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رُكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَعَبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَفَعَلُوا خَيْرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ The ayah that we already mentioned, Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 77th ayah, O you who believe, bow and prostrate. That's the shahid. وَاسْجُدُوا Allah ordered us in this ayah to prostrate and worship your Lord and do all kinds of good that you may be successful with deeds, so you may be successful. This is the first proof that's mentioned. The same ayah that mentions prostration and bowing. وحديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أسجد على سبعة أعظم على الجبهة وأشار بيده إلى أنفه واليدين والركبتين وأطرف القدمين ولا نكفت الثياب والشعر رواه البخاري ومسلم واللفظ للبخاري
At least we saw it was not شعر or
شعر يعني it came different wordings remember there was a number of different wordings يعني a little bit different you know in Bukhari there are several narrations in Muslim the narration other Muslim narrations this is one of the narrations that's also a proof for the manner or the description of sujood, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umirtu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umirtu, yani I have been commanded, and asjuda ala salati azam, that I should prostrate on seven bones. And then he described what they are, ala jabhati, that is the forehead, that I must prostrate on the forehead, wa shadu yadihi ila anfi. And when he said that, he pointed to his nose to indicate that the nose is included in the bone, yani the jabha. This is part of the same bone, the nose and the forehead is counted as one. وَالْيَدَيْن, the two hands, meaning the palms. وَرُكْبَتَيْن, the two knees. وَأَطْرَفُ الْقَدَمَيْن, and the extremities of the two feet, yani the toes of the two feet. وَلَا, next feet. And we do not roll or fold over الثِّيَاب وَالشَّعَر. Yani the garment should not be, for example, shouldn't be rolled up, like pants legs rolled up or something like this. It should not be rolled up or folded. And likewise, the hair, yani, should not be tied down. This is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the wording here is from Al-Bukhari. There's a footnote here, yani Nakfitu, it says, كَفَتْ أَشَّيْ ضَمَّهُ وَكَفَتْ ذَيْلَهُ شَمَّرَهُ يعني ضَمَّهُ means to bring it together, to fold it, to join it together, to roll it or to draw it together. And شَمَّرَ means to roll up something, like you roll up your pants. شَمَّرَ or شَمَّرَ garment means to roll it up or to tuck it up or to turn it up. So the meaning here is what? That the Prophet saw some, I have been commanded to prostrate on seven bones. وَلَا نَكْفِتُ and that I do not roll up the garments, or roll up, or fold, or tie down the hair. What about Bukhari, Muslim wording of Bukhari? And also, proof for this point is قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِمُسْلِهِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ from masjid hatta تَطْمَئِنَّ مَسَاجِدًا That is, the prayer, when one performs this prayer, fully the Prophet said, then prostrate until you are completely at calm, or at rest in the prostration position. As far as this prostration, Al-Wajiz, they mentioned it along with Tuma'nina, they mentioned the ayah that we mentioned, they mentioned also the hadith of the man who performed his prayer poorly. And then they said the members of the body that are needed for prostration, they mentioned the hadith of Ibn Abbas that we just mentioned. And then they mentioned one more evidence that we don't have in our book here, and that is عن ابن عباس أيضا قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن لا يصيب أنفه من الأرض ما يصيب جبهته أو جبينه. I'm sorry, جبينه. يعني ابن عباس also said from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the hadith is صحيح, it's reported by البرقدني, and Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned it in Sirat al-Salah on page 123, according to one of the printings, and of course it's been printed a lot of times, the pages may be a little different, but in any case, the hadith is authentic. Ibn Abbas said, the Prophet said, La salata, there is no prayer, لمن لا يصيب أنفه, his nose didn't get a portion of the earth, من الأرض ما يصيب جبينه, that his forehead got. Yani the nose doesn't get a portion like the forehead got. The forehead touched the ground, the nose didn't. لا صلاة لمن, yani to whoever, this is his condition. And then we're going to stop here. Okay, any question before we close? It's almost time for the event. We don't have but a minute or so.
Yeah, I just wanted to explain about rowing the coloring, and I mean what I mean is that.
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Yani, it means that a person has a pair of pants or some kind of garment, whatever, and maybe it's long and they don't want it to hang down, so they roll it up. That should not be done. That's prohibited in Salah. That's prohibited. Yani, if a person is going to pray, they shouldn't roll up their sleeves, they shouldn't roll up their pants, they shouldn't tie down their hair in the salat. Okay, that's the meaning, that's the general meaning of it. There's some discussion about this, inshallah. We can have a discussion about it in more detail with references. Yeah, it will be better to discuss it with references. One of the students of Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in his book, Al-Qawl al-Mubin fi Akhtar al-Musallin, the mistakes, the clear statement concerning the mistakes of the person in prayer. He mentioned some details about this, inshallah, we can go back and read that, because he gives some references and some explanation that clarifies it a little bit better. And he mentioned some of the sayings of the scholars and the difference of opinion concerning this matter. And if there's some difference of opinion and clarity of what is correct. So better that we take some time and look at that, at least in brief, and I think I have some notes on that I can send to the class also now.
But the
adhan is upon us.
Yeah. Well, basically during the
respond by signaling with your hand. If you're out of salat, you should respond by speech. Even if you're making dhikr, even if you're reciting Quran, you should respond. We could talk about that too, that's a long discussion.